This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome back to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, sponsored, of course, by the Sky Blue Tavern. Three of us here this evening, a menage a trois, if you will. I'm delighted to be joined by Ross and Dave. Chaps, welcome along.
Good evening, Dean. How are you?
Very well. It's been a long time since I've been on here. Feels like it anyway.
Well, you were supposed to be with us last week, but you abandoned us. So it was just me and David for the brilliant two-hander last week.
Unfortunately, that's a BA change of flight time for you. What can you do?
Evening, Dean. Good to have you on. Good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back. A tough week, obviously, for the Sky Blues. Only 1 point gained after gaining some momentum from last week's victory over Middlesbrough. We'll, of course, look back on both the games versus Bristol City and Burnley. But first of all, Ross, let's get your overriding thoughts on the week. Not ideal, really, coming away with just a single point.
Not ideal. But I think overall, I mean, it's fine margins in this league. I feel like, you know, earlier on in the season, we were sort of the creators of our own downfall in games. And this week, it could have been very different. You know, we looked like the team. I felt like we were going to nick a win on against Bristol. And then, obviously, yesterday against Burnley, it was, I mean, a 1-0 home defeat against a team who spent quite a lot of money once they got relegated, you know, in the summer. I'm not surprised by that result. So I actually think 1 point, I'm disappointed because, but I feel pretty positive. You know, it's one goal conceded in four games. Defensively, we do look a hell of a lot better. And against Bristol as well, we defended our box. I think it was 44 crosses they put in. So I was pretty happy. We looked like a unit. I have sort of confidence across the back line. And we had our moments going forward and we just couldn't quite, you know, find that final pass, you know, and if we'd done that, we'd have taken all 3 points. And then actually yesterday would have felt like a free hit, wouldn't it? So overall, I feel pretty good, to be fair, still.
I'm glad you brought up the defensive stability. That's something we're going to talk about a little bit later on and the changes we've made. Dave, still bottom though. Now 6 points from safety. But of course, those three games in hand over Middlesbrough still. We thought this month was going to be key, didn't we? And it's shaping up to be that way. And we certainly don't really want to be in this position heading into that World Cup break. But we've got plenty of games to sort of sort that situation out.
Yeah, for sure. Very much the same as Ross, to be honest. You know, I think there's lots of positives to take from the recent performances. I think there's positives to take from majority of the games. They just haven't quite, you know, I hope we're not sat here in February saying, you know, we made a lot of chances, we were close, but there's not a lot between us, but we still didn't come away with any points.
That was like last year, though, wasn't it? How many chances we created and, you know, we could have been in a much better position heading into the final few games last year.
100%. And look, we've sort of done full circle because we're talking about no chances in our first season in the Championship. Last season, we almost had too many, and this is probably the middle of the road. I don't think we're creating as many as we did perhaps last season, but they're definitely ramping up and they're starting to get into fifth gear. And I think I can see goals coming. And like you mentioned earlier, defensive stability is promising. So not at all worried. If you listened to CWR, you would have cut your season ticket up on the way home from Saturday.
You should cut your ears off if you listen to that, to be honest, as well.
And you'd also just be like, you know, you'd be unfollowing Mark Robbins if he did have any social media accounts, because apparently he's not going to be the Coventry City manager for much longer. But I think, you know, Mark Robbins and the team, they know what they're doing. They just, I think, he'd be the same. It's just they've become very close. His interview, wasn't it, after the Middlesbrough game was the most positive we've heard him in 5 years. And then this week, it was sort of like back down to the most negative you've heard in 5 years. So, yeah, I think he was happy with the sort of performance on Saturday, and I think we all have to be.
Yeah. Other than those doom and gloom merchants on CWR, I wouldn't take too much of their thoughts into account. Let's talk about Bristol City. Obviously, Ross, an unchanged side heading into this one. Was that the right way to go about things, considering that result against Middlesbrough last Saturday?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't expect any sort of changes to the starting 11, and it was an unchanged squad, wasn't it? So the bench was the same. That was the only thing that I thought might change, just if whether, you know, Kelly or someone was able to be on the bench. That was the only thing I thought might shake that up. But no, I wasn't surprised. And you know, the side who had got our first win of the season, they earned the right to go again. And you could see there was that confidence, you know, and there's an away performance, you know, and a tough place to go. You know, Bristol on a bit of a slump now, but you know, they haven't had a bad season. You know, they've had moments that, you know, it was the first game they, you know, they'd scored in every other league game prior to that. So I thought it was a good away performance all in all. And yeah, the sort of team sheet sort of picked itself, and it was good to see players like Palmer and get another start, you know what I mean, get more minutes. And I think that's just going to help and build, you know, as we go through the rest of this month and beyond.
Something else that didn't change was, you know, the little pictures that the club put up on Twitter of the starting lineup. They keep leaving a comma off the second to last name on the subs. I know it's really pedantic, but it infuriates me.
If you're out there and you're listening, please remove the comma.
No, add the comma. Don't remove them.
Oh.
If you're going to remove them all. But please add that last comma. I think it was yesterday. It was Eccles to Tavares. I think, oh, it's so frustrating. It's just like stupid little things that really rile me up before we even kick a football an hour before. Very frustrating. What about the pitch there at Bristol City, Dave? It's pretty big, isn't it? Or was that just the camera angle of being so far away? It's mental.
Yeah, I've never took the time to try and measure it across.
The pitch here, right?
It's yes. I've walked right into that one. Much like we walked into their defence. But yeah, I think it does look a pretty big pitch, probably based because of the rugby, I guess.
They still play rugby there.
Well, it looked like
did you not
it.
See the lines? It looked terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Bristol Bears, I believe, play there. I do think the camera angle doesn't help. It was like one of those sort of tactical cams, wasn't it? It was like shot from the moon. I don't think that helps. I don't think the pitch probably is much different. I just think it just looked enormous.
It just looks big out on a massive wide-angle lens.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, how big's this stand? Do you know what I mean? It was just crazy, but
I don't remember it being massive. Like when we I've got to stop that. But I honestly don't. When we went to the ground, being at Bristol City, it doesn't look. It's not the biggest of pitches.
It doesn't feel that
when
big.
You're there.
Maybe it's just on TV. It's bigger than what it actually is. That's what they say about TV, don't they? Well, let's get on to those defensive changes. Obviously, we have stopped playing out from the back as much. And I think that's been the main problem, hasn't it? Over the first five or six games where we were conceding lots of goals, it was through our own downfall and maybe trying to overplay too much. But I think defensively, we now look much better, don't we? We really limited Bristol to those half chances, the crosses in the box, the pop shots outside the box. And after the turmoil of those first five or six games, Ross, we seem to have turned a corner in that regard.
Well, I think that was the thing, wasn't it? Earlier on in the season, we, you know, obviously the defence has changed, and that's the area of the side that looks sort of most different, I guess, from last year. And it was like we were trying to sort of play going forward like we did last year, but obviously we had no rhythm because, you know, we were playing one game every 2 weeks and we had no defensive foundation. So as we saw, that's why we were conceding goals for fun. In the last few games, it reminds me of that period when we first got promoted behind closed doors, when we went 7 games unbeaten, like 5 draws, a lot of nil nils. And at the time it was frustrating, but that period of games stabilized us and allowed us really to accrue a few points and build and play our football from that. And I think that's what we've done this time. And as you say, I think Ben Wilson had that one save to make from quite a tight angle in the first half. Don't really remember him being troubled, you know, much else. They were putting in a lot of crosses, you know, I felt confident that we were going to deal with them. So I think conceding obviously against Burnley, I think you look at it and go, okay, we've got a platform now. And then hopefully with the players coming back that we've got, Hamer in a couple of games, O'Hare hopefully soon, suddenly then I think Kelly. We'll be able to go forward, and Kelly, we'll be able to then play the football that we were doing in an offensive sense, knowing that we've got a much better defensive foundation in place that we didn't have. It was almost like we were trying to run before we could walk earlier on in the season. Do you know what I mean? With so many changes in the sort of personnel wise. So yeah, I thought we restricted Bristol really well. And, you know, listening to Nigel Pearson afterwards, I mean, they really didn't have that many clear-cut opportunities. He was sort of talking about, you know, opportunities they had to create opportunities, and they sort of didn't do it because we defended well. We won the first ball. We made first contact a lot of the time. So, yeah, encouraging stuff defensively. I thought all three of them, Panzo, Fads, and Doyle, again, another impressive performance from him. He's sort of growing strength to strength, I think.
Dave, it was always going to take time, wasn't it? There's two, Ross to just reel off the names, that's two brand new faces in the centre of defence, and you know the change in stability has really come when Panzo has been brought back into the team as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's probably been helped by Rose's injury, but like, you can't be changing a winning side. I want to give a shout to the midfield on Tuesday night, because I think we won that battle. That's always key, and if you win that, you stand a good chance of, you know, having a decent game and a decent result. And I think that was key. I mean, Sheaf was just absolutely everywhere on Tuesday night, breaking down play. And I think, to be honest, that's what we got wrong yesterday, sadly. But Bristol City, I thought, was a brilliant defensive display, midfield and centre-backs. And Wilson made some good stops as well.
One of those in the midfield was obviously Casey Palmer going up against his old club as well, guys. His performances over the last few games, he's really come into his own, hasn't he? Notably after Matt and Grizzo questioned him on this podcast a few weeks ago.
Well, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he's questioned. I thought it was incredibly premature because he hadn't been given the minutes. And when he had him, I know we were on the same page, Dino, with it, in terms of when he had been given minutes, he'd looked good, you know, and he hadn't been given, you know, enough minutes at all to really stamp his authority. It was like little cameos here and there. But against Middlesbrough, you know, he showed flashes, particularly first half. I think he took that again, but then extended that sort of level of performance. You know, obviously he played the full 90, which is great for his fitness. And I thought he looked really good. I actually think what I like about him is he's so calm and composed. You know, he's very happy. Technically, you can see he's very good. He can do those one-touch passes straight back to the midfield. He sees the pictures. He tried a couple of really good balls, which if Godden had potentially read, and you know, there was one in the first half, and I just thought, if Godden had been a bit closer, he'd have been in. He did a great, you know, he created that chance for Vic in the second half. He created that chance at the end, even when he was off balance, getting sort of, you know, chased down by two Bristol players. He kept his composure, played a great weight of pass. And all I just thought was, we just lacked that with Jamie Allen, that composure. I think if we'd had another midfielder in a forward sense, having that composure to be able to take a touch and see the pitch, I think we'd have won the game. I think if we'd had a Gustavo Hamer on the bench to bring on for Jamie Allen, I think we'd have won the game, because it felt like Palmer was one of the few players who looked really comfortable with a good first touch. Everyone else, it just felt like it was bouncing off us a little bit, you know, and it was frustrating. But Palmer's been very, very good, and it's exciting because obviously O'Hare's going to be back very soon. So yeah, been very impressed.
I was going to get Dave's thoughts on that. With O'Hare coming back into the team, is it a possibility that both of them could play together with potentially Vic up front on his own, or, you know, one of the other guys?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got to eat some humble pie a little bit here, because I didn't really think Palmer was going to cut it. Not to not give a player a chance, but I just didn't feel like he fitted our sort of the way that we played, oddly. But he's been incredible the last couple of games. His feet, for his size and his strength, is just incredible.
His tenacity as well, isn't it? He's always going, he's always chomping at the bit. That's definitely what I love about players like that. Just go, keep going. That great attitude.
Exactly. And I think at times, you know, up against his old club, he overplayed on Tuesday night. But
that's natural, that's going
to
happen.
Exactly. But at least he wants to do that. You know, there's a passion there to really like show up the players that he used to play against. And you've got to have that arrogant sort of swag as a footballer, I think, to be at the top of the game, you know, and that's why. You know, we see it from Matty Godden, don't we? He's got a bit of a swag and isn't afraid to sort of give away fans a bit of it when his tail's up. And I think that's what you need, because it's just, otherwise you're sort of going through the motions. Casey Palmer's been brilliant. I can't see why he wouldn't be able to play with O'Hare. The only thing that does worry me a little bit with when we play two up front, you know, that someone would have to come out for that. And with it being Walker yesterday, I just felt that Casey Palmer was quite high up the pitch. He was doing a lot of the defensive pressure closing down. Walker then was completely out of the game, and Vic also, which left a massive gaping hole in the middle of the park. I can't think of his name, the number eight from yesterday, but it was just, that's the only thing I would say. I'm not saying he doesn't track back, and he's tenacious at pressuring, but I'm not sure he's got that defensive capability. So
not to play in a midfield too,
you'd need to have that box, right? I think, in with him. And if you had a Sheaf and a Kelly, I think that would be ideal. That would be my preferred lineup, I think, really. Looking at what we've done so far this season, it would be a Sheaf, Kelly, O'Hare, and a Casey Palmer with Vic up front. I think Vic probably leads the line on his own a bit better, to be honest.
100%,
So that they can definitely play together, and looking forward to seeing it, to be honest.
An option. We're crying out for a different option. And, you know, that's one potential one over the horizon for sure. Right, two big talking points as well from this game. The first, let's talk about the potential handball from a corner, headed towards goal by Matty Godden. Eventually hit the bar, but huge shouts for a handball, Ross. What were your thoughts on this? It was very quick, and I've watched it a few times, and I can't really tell for sure. So never mind me. The ref must have had an absolute nightmare there.
Yeah, I mean, it was in real time at the time. I didn't even sort of see that as a thing. I was too busy, you know, looking at the header and thinking, was it going to go in? Were we going to be able to get the rebound? And obviously, I've seen those sort of still images, you know, of the guy sort of, you know, clearly, you know, trying to save it. I'm just not sure whether he actually makes contact, the ball makes contact with his hand. I think they've got away with murder there. Do you know what I mean? Like, if one of our defenders is reaching up like that, there's no way that the ball doesn't, you know, touch our hand in any way, shape, or form. And I just think it was, one of those. I think, you know, obviously Fads was really appealing and one or two others, but yeah, I don't, it's a tough one to say, to be honest with you. I've not seen a conclusive sort of angle to sort of go, 100% he's handballed it. Robbins, obviously, you know, mentioned it, but it wasn't as sort of adamant as you'd expect if it was a clear, you know. I think you'd see, I've seen the whole team around the ref if it had hit his hand. And I think if it did make contact, it must have literally just skimmed his finger, because the ball didn't really change, did it? Sort of direction. So they potentially got away with one. I think they got away with one with the fact that having your arm up in the air and it doesn't hit your arm, I think you're asking for trouble, aren't you? So that was a big chance. And yeah, I don't know. I probably would be surprised if he'd given it, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely right, though. If that's us, we're definitely getting that awarded against us. That's our luck, mate.
It would hit our hand, wouldn't it? You just know, just hit the hand and he'd be red card.
So you hit him in the face and the ref would probably say handball to us. That's the way it's going. Very frustrating. What else was frustrating was a couple of chances that Vic had, and probably the opportunity to pass the ball was on rather than take the shot on. Especially the one where Palmer plays an incredible passage of play and then puts the ball through, and Godden's alone in the box, Dave. That's criminal not to pass the ball across.
Yeah, I mean, look, Vic's top goal scorer last season. He's a confident lad. I think there's been times this season when he could have passed it. I think he does use Godden as a decoy run quite a lot and to sort of create himself space. So there was a few in the first half where I didn't really think he was being that greedy, to be honest. There was one where Godden dropped off and you expect a player to go with him, and actually both players went to the ball and closed Vic down. And if that hadn't have happened, I think Vic would have tried to put it on his right and got a shot away. That one probably, I think, really Godden's screaming for it. But what was frustrating was after that, Godden looked quite dejected, almost couldn't believe the ball hadn't come his way.
You can see where the rumours of a riff come from when things like that happen.
Definitely, yeah. But that's just frustration as a footballer on the pitch. You know, I don't think I'm sure there's nothing that's held against anyone for that. We've all been there. We sprinted 40 yards or whatever to get into the box and the ball's just not found you for whatever reason. And it's frustrating. But that's football. Yeah, there should be times when he should pass. There's other times when you wouldn't expect him to be shooting and he scores. So you don't really want to lose that that sort of eye for goal that he's got, and that confidence that he's got to take it on. But sometimes I think he just slows it down so much And almost, you know, probably if we were just playing one time football, we could have got one through the box and got him as wide open.
And I think there's one for Walker as well, wasn't he?
Big opportunity
towards,
that was.
Towards the end, he took on three players and he only has to play the ball through for the, you know, what was a pretty wide gap, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, if he score, and the thing is, if we score that, obviously we win the game. But also, everyone, you go, wow, that was incredible from Vic. You know, Palmer played another ball through. He takes on two players. At that point, there's so many bodies in between him and the goal. That's probably the one where actually I go, that sort of awareness there, he 100% should be passing. The one where he actually did,
go through. It is, though. I think he's quite a head down sort of player.
He's tunnel vision.
You know what I mean?
See
that's, he's just not seeing those passes. There was one this week. I know we keep bouncing between games, but there was this one this weekend and everyone's like, cross it. And I just don't think he's got it in his locker. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's that he doesn't see the pass. He just doesn't have the confidence to try and clip a ball into the box. He's very much better at just standing a player up and trying to go past and get a shot away. And I think that's kind of, it makes him look greedy, if that makes sense. But I think he probably tries to just play to his attributes.
I mean, the thing you said about Godden, I think it's interesting because I think Godden's obviously a goal scorer, you know, and we've seen it with Vic's goals this year. You know, one against Middlesbrough wasn't the cleanest of, say, finishes, but he'll score. He'll have enough shots that, you know, he'll sort of almost force the ball through and score. Whereas we all know how good a finisher Godden is. The last couple of games, I feel like it's easy. People go, oh, Godden's, you know, anonymous in the game or hasn't been, you know, doing anything. But what he does is he'll make those runs, he finds a position, and he's a goal scorer. So if Vic in that first one does lay it across and Godden scores, and we was away and we win the game, Godden's done his job because he relies on service from our midfielders and from Vic, but he doesn't really get it. I find when those two pair up together, do you know what I mean? I've never been quite convinced it sort of works. He doesn't get the service. And then when he doesn't get the service, he then looks as a result like he's not really contributed enough. Obviously, he runs around, works hard. They were quite far apart, I felt, as well. So there was time that Godden was winning headers and Vic was like nowhere to be seen. You know
Godden's
what I mean?
He's a very unselfish player. There was a lot of times on Tuesday night where he got the ball into feet and he played one-touch passes back to the midfield to try and make something happen around the box. Intricate passing that gets you closer or, you know, inside the box to try and get a shot away or take a player on. Vic doesn't do that, really. He's never really looking to play one-time football as a hold-up player. He's looking to get the ball, get it under control, nick an inch and get a shot away. That, you know, that is just what he is. But he's in danger of making himself quite a predictable footballer by doing that, I think.
Well, that's why we need, when he runs, and, you know, we know, like, he is very tunnel vision, but he, you know, he attracts two defenders on him all the time. That's why I do agree. I think if we have O'Hare and Palmer, who can pick up that sort of second ball when he does, say, get tackled and the ball runs loose, that's not happening at the moment because we've only got one attacking mid. Godden's in the box, so then no one's picking up that second ball, and then they inevitably tackle and break away and it comes to nothing. Whereas I think if O'Hare is close, ready to sort of nip in, and then he can lay it across to Palmer, we'll actually sustain attacks better, I think, even when he does sort of get tackled. But it's a part of his game. Robin's highlighted, doesn't he? Like you said, Dave, he scores goals when you don't expect him and he has no right to sort of score. If he can just lift his head up, if he can, he'll get more assists, and as a result, you know, he'll be a better player for it. So yeah, it's frustrating because there's a couple of opportunities there, and I bet Walker would have been, you know, he'd have been buzzing to have obviously got a goal. I think that one at the end was actually probably the one which was the most frustrating, because I don't think the shot was on, but
and I think that's why a lot of people question about, you know, they say Matty Godden goes missing right in games, but that's because Vic's got the ball and he's not utilising Matty Godden.
Well, you designed the poster, Dino. The missing person. You started it, Dino.
I will say I did start it a couple of weeks ago because he only had five touches in about 35 minutes, which, you know, again, that's down to probably Vic holding the ball rather than releasing Matty, which again, just sort of adds to frustration.
I think we've missed out the midfield a couple of times. I think, you know, I'm probably contradicting myself. I think defensively midfield, we were good. And I thought we kept football really, really well at Bristol City. It's actually the first time I feel like we played football a lot through the midfield. But a lot of this season, we've been missing out the midfield quite a bit. And that ball that's into the channels or over the top tends to be for Vic, for him to either try and win it or bring it down. So, you know, it's hard for Godden to, you know, he's definitely playing a supporting role rather than a you know, a starring role.
He's not going to run that channel the same way Victor's, right? And that's the out ball. It's to Vic.
And then there was a couple of times on against Bristol that Casey Palmer put Godden through, and he just didn't have the legs to get to it. That's not his game. And actually, that's probably why I'd be a huge advocate for Tav, you know, to be the player that plays up with Vic. He's a senior player now in terms of he's been around that squad. He's been in the changing room with the first team for long enough. He's had chances. He's shown he can do it. He scored against Preston last season. I think he's the one for me that should be playing off of the shoulder for Vic, because he's the only one that's got the pace to get up there or run those channels as a get-out ball. I just think that he would suit it much more.
Your classic big man, little man.
Exactly.
Your John Hartson and Craig Bellamy situation.
100%.
Think of some more.
I don't know.
Who did Adebola play with up front? Did he have
McSheffrey?
McSheffrey, Stern John. He's quite a big fellow as well, wasn't he? Not quite the same. Crouch and Owen. Most famous.
Clive Platt and Michael Mifsud.
Oh, look at that. Love that. Love that from you, Ross. It was 0-0, though, in the end versus Bristol City. Let's get some quick man of the matches from you both. I'll start with you, Dave.
Sheaf for me, I think. I think he had a really good game, both defensively and has had to make things happen with the absence of the suspended Hamer. So, yeah, Sheaf.
Ross?
Fads, I think. Put his head on everything. We had to deal with a lot of aerial threats, and I feel like you take him out, I then worry about the two sort of young centre backs. I think he just holds them all together. So yeah, Fads for me.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Let's move on to Saturday's game at the CBS versus newly relegated Burnley. They're going pretty well so far this season. Probably expected to be challenging at the top. But they're sitting in fifth place at the moment. One change for this game: Ross Walker was brought in for Godden. It was one that was kind of expected, considering Mark Robbins' comments over the last couple of games, saying he was chomping at the bit.
Well, yeah, I mean that, and also even when we were at the Scarlet Tavern for the Q&A, Matty Godden said, you know, with these amount of games, he's going to have to manage his workload. So I remember saying with Dave last week ahead of the Bristol game, I wouldn't be surprised if he'd been dropped from that game. And obviously he wasn't. So yeah, it was no surprise that he brought in a fresh face. And I think Walker's next in, you know, the pecking line. And as you say, Robbins had highlighted how sharp he's been in training. And, you know, I think he's worthy of an opportunity. So yeah, happy with the side, happy with the subs. And I was feeling pretty confident.
Dave, talk to me about those early stages in the game. It kind of felt like the occasion got to the Sky Blues and we pay too much respect to Burnley in that regard.
We were set up completely wrong as well, for to be honest. Not only were we, it's not the two up top, it's the fact that we were just so defensive.
It felt like we had a flat five at the back rather than the three with wing backs.
Yeah, it was just everyone was penned back. No one could get a foot on the ball. But it is that occasion. I don't really understand it, because we're at home. You know, we've on the back of two really good performances, but not just two good performances, but on the back of two strong possession performances. And that's what was disappointing to me, that we didn't want to control the pace of the game. We didn't want to. And I'm not saying we could, but we just didn't
even attempt to.
No, and we just didn't have that pressure. We kind of let them sort of have the ball, you know, and space that they wanted, which is fine if you're going to try and just hold them into their, you know, it's sort of in their own half. But we kind of just let them pick passes. We were never really close enough to our men in those early exchanges. And it sort of set the rest of the game up, I think, and the sort of tone of what was to sort of come.
Yeah, I mean, I was getting frustrated. It was kind of get ball, boot the ball, ball comes back. And the tactics were just wrong. And we weren't really in their face enough. And if you look, when we did have possession, it was Burnley who were in our face, making us play quickly. And we started to make mistakes. And that's why we just gifted possession to them every single time we had the ball. And that, Ross, is the biggest frustration, is that we can't seem to find that composure when teams sort of play the way we play against teams.
Yeah, and I think that comes from yeah, the midfield and that sort of confidence and that ability for us to sort of, you know, we did it, didn't we, last year? We showed it, you know, we went toe-to-toe against teams who play football and try and covet us in that way. We thrive. And I just think that's the sort of game where you want to, you know, you want Hamer playing, I think, really, and O'Hare, people who are confident on the ball, do you know what I mean, to take it. And I that's pitch, sometimes yeah. when Jamie Allen sometimes disappoints me, because I think defensively he works very hard, he gets around the pitch. Defensive discipline positionally, I think, is good. But then sometimes when he gets the ball, it's very safe, or you know, his passing's let him down. I thought that against Bristol as well. So, yeah, that was a shame. And then as a result, it means you can't build many momentum in our attacks. You know, we give the ball to Palmer, and then sometimes it just feels like there's not enough movement. So then we end up, yeah, just like you say, playing a hopeful ball over the top and expecting, you know, something to come from it, which ironically is exactly what, you know, Burnley did. You know, their goal was just a hopeful ball over the top. So I guess they proved it, that can work. But yeah, it was disappointing. And as you say, you sort of, you just know we're better than that, I feel.
Yeah, and throwing those balls into channels, but when everyone's so far back, no one can get near for any support, you know. And if Gyökeres is going out left, it just leaves a gaping hole in the middle of the park. Yeah. And then when we inevitably lose possession, the midfield two are so far back from that front three out of possession, it just gives them time to beat any press that we might put on the ball. And then there's always a spare man. And that came every single time that they had the ball. There was always a spare man. And it was so frustrating to watch, because you could see we just needed an extra man in midfield. And then obviously we made that change in the second half. But if I can see it, why can't the guys at the side of the pitch see that?
Oh, it's a good question. I mean, and obviously it did sort of did eventually, you know, but it's, yeah, it's sort of frustrating. The frustrating thing I find is when you sort of see it and we just keep persisting doing the same thing, which isn't working, you know, like you say, just playing these balls, you know, which aren't great balls in the first instance. Vic's, you know, and the gaps are just huge, you know, so there's no press. And that's why, like Dave was saying earlier about the box, I think that actually that formation allows us to press better as a team than when we've got the two up top and the one sort of central attacking mid. So yeah, it was a shame. And we sort of, you almost just wish we could have got to half time goalless, do you know what I mean? And it was just a sucker punch that we sort of conceded before, you know, not long before.
Dave, how did it feel in the crowd?
Yeah, I think that was the thing. It kind of felt that, like, they weren't massively threatening. So, yes, they had a huge bit of possession and kept the ball really, really well. They're also quite disappointing in possession at times. They played a lot of wayward passes. They gave us enough opportunity for us to go, you know what, actually, these aren't that great and we can get at them. But we didn't. We didn't take that opportunity. And when you continue to let people have possession, let people have space, let people get balls into feet and not be tight enough, sitting quite defensively. To me, it looked like for the majority of the game, Ben Sheaf was playing in the midfield on his own. He did a lot of people's running yesterday. He did a lot of Casey Palmer's running. And as a result, if the ball went past him, it was a 1-2 and a give and go. And that was it. It was Brownhill that was just running the show. He was drifting into space. And what was happening is Casey Palmer was doing a lot of, Vic was doing a lot of Walker's running, which, you know, I'm not going to sit here and slag a player off. There's no point. There's no benefit to it. But at times yesterday, Vic and Walker were running for the same, closing down the same player, which just meant that Palmer was then moving up. He was almost playing as a front three at times. And then there's just massive gap in between. And that meant that if Dabo went to 8, 19 was free, and he had all the space in the world. Or if he didn't, then Brownhill had the free run of it. And it just, those pockets of space were just too easy. But by that, it meant that they just could get ball into feet so easy, really.
And they brought back some of the old dark arts from the Sean Dyche days, didn't they? There was a few nasty challenges flying in. I think Walker bared the brunt of those. I don't think much has been made about the Jack Cork challenge on him. It was a horrific lunge.
Yeah, terrible. And but I mean, that was a terrible challenge, and you know, could have been punished more severely, I think. And but again, what they do, and we've always spoke about this, you know, cynical fouls. Any time we looked like we're going to be able to run into some space, we're brought down, and they rotate it around the side and they never seem to get punished. You know, and we just never do it. You know, we just never do it. And as a result, you know, teams then, like, we were never able to build any momentum attacks, because as soon as we had some space, we were sort of hacked down. And yeah, it was a bit dark arts from them, really. And it was frustrating, because as it was going on, you sort of just felt, there's an equaliser here for us. Do you know what I mean? Like, for all the possession they have, you know, knocking it around, the defence, they weren't that good. As you say, you know, it's all good having 70% possession, but if you're just knocking it around the back line. So it was frustrating that we just, I don't know, it was a combination of things that we just weren't able to get into that next gear, you know, and sustain enough attacks, you know, to ultimately bring about a goal.
Dave, what did you make to the challenge on him when he basically threw on goal, he tapped the ball around the defender? There's a potential red card there. A lot of people are saying red card, but I think there was enough cover there for him to get away with it.
Yeah, I don't think it was a red card. It's just another one that is, yeah, you know, broke down the play, done what he had to do, take a booking, thank you very much. A bit of money towards the kitty at Christmas. But, you know, they'll probably be drinking from the cup, won't they? So it's everyone's happy. Fair play to Walker for reacting and getting to the ball. But yeah, they did share them round. They did make those fouls when they needed to. I don't think that's, you know, enough for us to make excuses for you know, a lot of our performance. Yeah. Like I say, I'm not saying it's all doom and gloom. It really isn't. But it was quite negative at times, which I think is frustrating, not just to be at home, but to, on the back of two decent results. I think it just felt a little bit negative. I understand you want to take it into the sort of later rounds, and if you can, and keep it 0-0. And kudos to Robbins for changing things when he had to. You've got to say that. But I think he set up wrong to start off with. I probably would have packed out that midfield a little bit more. Yes, the Boo Boys would have been out when he played a one up front, maybe. But we just needed some support in that midfield, because you knew they were going to come and play and try and pass you off the park. And I don't think, you know, I don't think two up front was the out ball was Vic every time, which was, you know, yes, okay, he'd be flicking on to no one, but that was the only out ball that we had. And that's why Walker probably was just, you know, doing a lot of running around, but not really that close enough to have an impact.
Ross, do you think we could have done anything with their goal? I mean, I thought it was quite well taken in the end, but Fads maybe at fault for not getting across enough, and then Wilson again, maybe a bit sloppy with his hands, really.
Yeah, I think that is such an avoidable goal, really. I mean, again, it's just a hopeful sort of ball over the top. We've got enough players back, you know, defensively to deal with it. So it's, I don't know, just got caught cold a little bit, and it was sort of the way it just went in was all a bit, I don't know, sort of scruffy, and Wilson was out of position and whether he was thinking it, you know, we were going to usher it out or something, so for a goal kick, I don't know. But it was a really disappointing goal, and for all the possession and the football that they say will try and play, that's a really disappointing goal for us to concede against them. You know, it's such a, you know, because any team, do you know what I mean, the worst sides in the division will just be able to play balls like that. Like, that should be our bread and butter, and I'd expect Fads, you know, to deal with that, and Panzo. And it's almost like they got in each other's way, you know, and there wasn't that clear communication, which was a shame, because we've showed in the past few games that the communication has been on point, and we've dealt with, you know, a lot harder balls into the box, you know, against Bristol, than one little aimed sort of looping ball over the top. So that was a real disappointment, to be fair. And yeah, it was a sucker punch to go into halftime, a goal down.
That's something we don't do enough, try and play those little cute balls over the top of defences when we're in that final third. We always seem to try and play through them on the floor. But when you've got Vic's movement and Godden's movement, it's something I think why we don't try that ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. I think when O'Hare's back playing, I think he likes to make those runs in behind. Yeah. I think he'll do that. I think sometimes with Godden, I do just think it is like Dave said, just that lack of pace. I think Tavares would do it as well. I think he clearly wants to play on the shoulder. He'll clearly make those runs in behind and stretches the defence of the opposition, drags people out of position. And as you say, sometimes I just think we're a bit too predictable, because we play everything in front of them. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't try and get in behind and get them turning. And, you know, and then I think players like Palmer and O'Hare, when he's back, they'd come alive because you've got defenders sort of all desperate trying to, you know, they're out of position. Whereas I just think sometimes we play just in front of them and they can all just like look forward and they know we do become quite predictable. So yeah, that's something that we need to mix up our play a little bit more. I do feel sorry for Walker though. I do feel like whenever he plays, I always just call it the graveyard shift. He's just in and you know, yeah, you know, when he started up top, you know, against Norwich, I just thought, God, like the graveyard shift. So I do feel sorry for him sometimes because I just think, you know, he's on the face value, like you say, some of the boo boys or whatever, they might look and go, like, oh, yeah, this is why I don't play because he, you know, runs around and doesn't do much. But I think it's a hard ask in these games when he does play, you know.
I think the games
he gets selected for are the ones where, you know, he probably shouldn't be. He should be playing against Bristol and Godden should have been playing against.
Agreed.
The other way around. It should be the other way around because against Bristol, you probably don't need him to run and run and run. Just be in the right position at the right time, which he, you know, we've seen he's great at. Whereas versus Burnley, you're going to have to get the press right, and Godden is your man for the press rather than Walker.
I don't know what's being said then. I don't know what Mark Robbins is saying to Walker, because what I would hope he was saying is, go and give me 60 minutes because I've got Waghorn and Godden on the bench. Go and give me 60 minutes of hard running, get in their face, pressure and play and try and force them and hurry them. But he didn't do that.
But that's not his game though, is it? He's never going to do that. You can say to him all you like, but that's not his game.
But it's got to be, hasn't it? If you're playing against a possession-based team, I don't know. I just find
that's why you question why he's playing in that position.
Yeah, against that opposition.
When you know you need to do that.
I find him an odd player. I'm not saying frustrating. I think he's a good finisher. I just find him an odd player to place or to fit into a squad. I don't see him molded into this team really, because he's just a very odd player to place. He plays off the shoulder at times and always tries to gamble. He never really, I mean, he jumped with players yesterday, but generally he's always trying to see when a defender's going to make a mistake and gamble, which against Burnley or majority of teams in the Championship really don't make mistakes. So if you're always waiting for that mistake to come off, it's probably never going to happen. And then the other thing that always baffles me is that when he's on the pitch with Godden and even Vic at times yesterday, he wants to play this hold-up game. It's not his game. I don't really understand it. So he's then in the air battling or trying to hold up the ball and play to people coming onto the game. But again, he's not really got the strength to do that. So I just find him a bit hard to place, that's all. I think he's got talent. I definitely have. You know, he played that, I think back to the goal with Biamu, you know, that was just so natural, wasn't it? And the way he played that day, he looked unplayable at times. Now, we're going back a couple of seasons, but
maybe
he's not really had many chances since that, has he? So you kind of have to go back to that. But there's definitely talent there. He definitely knows how to hit, you know, a shot on target when it's reactive. I think he's a reactive player, not a proactive player. Agreed. As well, which is probably why, you know, he doesn't. But I just find it a bit. I find him a tough player to place.
I agree. I think everything you say, I can't disagree with that. I find our second striker, I think, an odd position, really, because everything goes through Vic. He's the spearhead. So the other striker then has to be the foil for him. But Godden and Walker aren't foils. They're the ones who should be furthest forward, finishing off the chances. The only player who was Waghorn at the start of last year, who was the perfect, he was happy to be that foil. He would drop deep and he, you know, for Jokeres.
But that's why there wasn't an out ball yesterday, because you had two people playing on the last man.
Yeah.
And that's why we need the box. I think he would play the box, but we haven't got the personnel at the moment. You know, who's he going to play? Like Eccles and.
But he could have played Waghorn in that box, I think. I think he could. Personally, yesterday, that's probably what I would have done. I would have put Waghorn. You know, we can all say in hindsight and whatever, but it's no, you know, it's no mystery why when we got Tav and we sort of had three up front sitting off with that pace, that when we closed them down, that was when we caused them the most issues.
And the ball's behind, like Ross said, when the ball got put in behind, Tav was there and he was cutting back it, cutting back in, inside in the box, and then we were fashioning sort of half chances from that. That was the change, wasn't it?
That's what you want to do. You want people who play to their strengths. And I always think Tavares, when he comes on, looks like he does that. I just agree. I don't think we get to see the best out of Godin in this system, because obviously Gyökeres is our focal point. So everything goes through him, whether it's gets the ball and you know he's going to turn, run. We then need people close by in support of him. But I do agree.
We're not going to do that.
No.
And do you know where Walker would be better placed in that Burnley team? With Teller, Zaori feeding balls through and then doing all the running.
I'd say that's unlikely to happen.
It's unlikely to happen, yeah. But that's you know, if you're going to play to Walker's strengths, then you put him at the top of that Burnley team. And it probably comes to fruition. You've got Brownhill playing balls through, Teller and Zori running wide, doing all the running. And then
it's a tough one, though. Yeah. It's a difficult one to judge him on, but played up on his own against Norwich. I'm not saying we played well that day, but...
But we don't have wide forwards to facilitate.
Yeah.
Sitting up there, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we had a Jody Jones, for example, who could play a wide forward role, then... You know, that might work, but we don't. We have very, very narrow two tens or we play two up top, and that's not where Walker's going to come into his own, unfortunately, which is very frustrating. He's just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
He's a sort of fox in the box type of striker, isn't he? I think he knows, he makes those intelligent runs. We've seen them, and we don't really play that sort of football, do we, to be honest?
Definitely not. All right, well, let's move on from this Burnley game. Let's get some man of the matches from you both. I mean, it's very slim pickings, I imagine, Ross, but we'll go to you first.
I think Dabo had a decent game.
Yeah, I was going to say Dabo, yeah.
Yeah, I think he looked like he had the bit between his teeth. So, yeah, I'd go with Dabo.
That was a more Dabo-type performance that we've come to expect from him. He hasn't really been... his old self, has he, let's say, over the last 12 to 18 months. But that was something. Yesterday he showed a glimpse of the old Dabo.
Yeah, that sort of explosive sort of power, do you know what I mean? And that sort of confidence, you know, I felt like he had a period, large parts of last year and the season before, where he just looked devoid of confidence, like did not ever back himself, do you know what I mean, going forward. And it looks like in little spells that's coming back. So long may that continue, because we all know, you know, how good he can be and how effective he can be going forward. So Dabo for me.
Dave?
Exactly the same. Yeah, good performance from Dabo. Nice to see him. He didn't really get a chance to get forward that much because we didn't, again, play that sort of those through passes or those through balls. But I think he had a really strong performance and hopefully he can back that up again next week.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Okay, before we look ahead to next Saturday's away game at Cardiff, let's talk about the antics that are going to happen on Tuesday night, Ross, at the Sky Blues Tavern. Another fans forum / Q&A happening after the successful one a couple of weeks back. You're in the hot seat, I hear, this time around, and Jamie Allen and Ben Sheaf will be in attendance.
Yes, so obviously, you know, some of our listeners, you may well have come to the Matty Godden and Michael Rose, which was the first players Q&A, and you may have witnessed Dino's quizmaster antics.
Confirm that will not be happening again this time around. Not with me anyway.
No. But yeah, that was a great evening, and obviously we've got the second one, which is this Tuesday, and as you quite rightly say, our two midfielders, our midfield partners from the last couple of games, Jamie Allen and Ben Sheaf, are going to be there sort of taking, having a talk through, obviously, Saturday's game, their sort of progress into football and signing for the Sky Blues and their memories so far of being with us. And then a look ahead, obviously, to next weekend and the rest of the season. And then similarly, there's going to be, the fans are going to have the opportunity to pose their questions to the two players. And that part will be facilitated by Miles and Ken from Sky Blue Fans TV. It'll be me and Wardy leading the sort of formal interview at the start. There'll be another raffle. There's going to be another quiz. Dino won't be there asking the questions, but there is going to be a quiz. And I believe the players are going to be asking the questions this time. We'll see how that goes. But no, it should be a fantastic evening again. So you can get your ticket still. Great food, great refreshments, and it should be another great evening at the Sky Blue Tavern.
Tickets are still available. They're only £2 as well, Ross, with all proceeds going to the Jimmy Hill Foundation. So nice to have them included in this one this time around.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, great to raise some money for a really good cause. And it's just a nice way to everyone to sort of secure your seat, you know, for the event. So we're expecting a good crowd again. And yeah, it should be a great evening. So it'd be nice to sort of pick the brains of Ben Sheaf and Jamie Allen and yeah, see who their favourite Sky Blues Extra Pundit is.
So as I alluded to earlier, the Sky Blues will then travel across the border into Wales and visit the Cardiff City Stadium on Saturday. Cardiff are a good start to the season, especially as they were one of the teams that who might potentially have been looking behind them according to the bookies, but they've kind of sport the odds so far, 18 points and sitting in 10th place. Dave, I want to take you back to last year, one of our worst performances of the season on that. I think it was a cold Tuesday night and a 2-0 defeat. We've got some demons to lay to rest here, haven't we?
Yeah, last season we just didn't really lay a glove, did we? We just couldn't get really on it. It looked like a midweek Tuesday game when you're in the coach thinking, I don't know if I want to get off. It's a bit cold, don't really fancy it. So, yeah, which, you know, I can understand. But yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one, but they all are. I think we've got nothing to sort of lose in this fixture. And, you know, they've had a few surprise results. You know, they got beat at home against Millwall. Millwall have looked to me being one of the poorer sides in a division.
Especially away from home as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's a few results. You know, Luton beat them, didn't they, as well, which I think Luton didn't look amazing.
It just goes to show about the championship, though. Yeah. Everyone could beat anyone at any time. It's absolute madness.
No, it's a crazy, crazy league. Saturday, you know, personified that again, didn't it? Some really weird results coming out. So I don't think there's anything to fear, and I think we can go there and give a good account of ourselves. And hopefully, yeah, a better performance than last season.
Never seems to be a place we travel well to, Wales, either Cardiff or Swansea. We never seem to come away with much. It's very, very annoying that we've got some kind of Wales voodoo against us. Maybe there was a few dolls being pricked in the past. That's really upsetting the odds for the Sky Blues. Ross, tell us a little bit about Cardiff then. What do you expect from them?
Well, obviously Cardiff, there, as Dave said, they've had some up and down results. They've been a bit inconsistent. But they're unbeaten in the last three back-to-back wins since Steve Morrison was sort of surprisingly sacked after they'd lost to Huddersfield. You know, he'd signed 17 players, I believe. One of my good friends is a Cardiff fan, and they were all buying into the sort of the project, I think, you know, to give the manager that many new players, integrating them in. They'd actually had a very good start to the season. Then they had a few iffy results. Beat Middlesbrough away, lost to Huddersfield, and then he was shown the door. I think there's more to it than that in terms of, I think he's quite a prickly character. It sounds like there was a bit of a personality clash there, but they've left Mark Hudson in charge, who was his assistant, and it looks like he's probably going to get the job, you know, keep it in-house and keep that same sort of vibe going forward. So that started with a late equaliser against Burnley, and then obviously they beat Blackburn. And then went away and beat Wigan in an impressive 3-1 win. So they play a four at the back, a 4-3-3 is what they've tended to be playing. Kipre at centre-back, from they got on loan from West Brom, him and Simpson. And then O'Dowda and sort of Robinson and Harris, they start against Wigan, although Robinson has got an injury, so we'll have to see whether he is back fit. But they've got good options, Ojo, Etete. And in midfield, they've got... I wish we had this many central midfielders. You know, they've got, you know, Rawls and Wintle and Rinomota they signed in the summer, who I remember you, Dino, at the time saying he'd have been a good signer for any championship side.
Yeah.
And as I say, they've got Romain Sawyers and, yeah, loads of options. So it's going to be a tough place, as you quite rightly say. We don't travel well there. Cardiff, Swansea and Preston away are three places you can just throw your mortgage on. You know, it's not getting anything. but I'm going this time, so I hope it...
Wow.
I'm traveling all the way up, and I'll be in the car with my mate who's a Cardiff fan. So I'm hoping I have bragging rights on the journey back.
Yeah.
They're a team. Like, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think Gyökeres and Kiprè, they'll have a physical duel. You know, they've not got loads of pace, but they move. They're sort of a hard working, honest side, and we just need to make sure that we're up to the challenge, which we weren't, were we, last year? And that was the disappointing thing. We just looked off it, and they didn't look great shakes either, but we were just poor. So we need to make sure we're on it. Hopefully, I don't know what you two think, Will, you know, after Robbins' most recent quotes, could we see Kelly or O'Hare or both or neither on the bench?
It's a week, isn't it? It's a week. That
yeah, we've got a full week of training.
Some training legs into them, which is good. So maybe they'll make an appearance on the bench this time around, but I can't see either of them sort of starting the game.
Oh, no. No, no. I mean, on the bench, I just think would be... I just think that being
it,
on the bench would be a
lift,
bonus.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
A lift. They don't even need to play. You know what I mean? And but being on the bench would just... Knowing that they're there, it's Hamer's last game of his suspension. So, I mean...
I forgot he still played for us, to be honest. He's been out there, the picture so much.
That's cost us, really. I mean, obviously not done too bad in these games. The problem is, it's cost
Saturday.
Us... It's cost
he
us
was
in
the missing link, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was, but he's cost us in terms of we just haven't got options. You know, he even if he wasn't going to start, we've got no one on the bench, so we can't really change it up. You know, because like you say, Jamie Allen's played in the box before. He might have pushed him further up if we had Hamer, but we didn't have him. So we've been a bit restricted. So obviously, I mean, he can't afford to get sent off again when he comes back after this weekend. But we do miss him. Hopefully O'Hare or someone or Kelly can be on the bench. And we just need to go there, be organised, defend well. They play a lot of balls down the line. And so they do play with two wingers. So it's going to be interesting to see how Bidwell and Dabo, assuming he starts, and the two centre-backs sort of defend that, because they do try and pull teams and get into that channel. So obviously we could end up being out of position. So it's going to be an interesting game, tough game, obviously, but hopefully one we can get a result from.
They're not a team who sort of dominate possession either. And they always seem to me like quite an aggressive side, but this year they've sort of bucked that trend a little bit. They're only sort of sitting in 15th place on the discipline statistics, which I thought would have been much more with the likes of Perry NG and Kiprè in there. Obviously, they're always worth a booking in this division. So that's odd to see. Dave, we switched to four at the back in that second half versus Burnley. Is that something you think Robbins might do going away from home, or is it going to be the tried and tested three with the wing backs?
I think regardless, I think he'll probably go one up or he'll go two up. But I think someone like Waghorn or I don't know, he probably won't, will he? Probably will start with Godden and Vic, probably.
I think on the basis like that they're not going to dominate possession like a Burnley attempt.
Yeah, he does like that one up away from home. But then again, he's not done that every game this season.
No.
I don't know. I mean, Godden's probably ready to come back into the fold. But I do think we've got to start getting some minutes into Tav. However he features, however and where, we've got to start getting some minutes into him, because he looks a player that's very, very confident. You know, to be getting, you know, stepovers and stuff out against, you know, just a team that's just come down from the Premiership. It goes to show where he is, you know, where his mind's at in terms of how confident he is in his own ability. So I'd like to see some minutes for him. I wouldn't mind to see two up front, but I wouldn't be surprised if I saw one and maybe a Waghorn in you know, sat in that sort of 10 role, but just behind. I can't see him ever going four at the back, though. I can't see that. I think he hasn't really... Well, he has got the squad to do it.
Yeah, he has.
I can't see him doing it.
Bidwell's more of a left-back than a left-wing-back, isn't he? Although, to be honest, Jake Bidwell over the last 5-6 games has been outstanding for me, both forward, going forward and defensively.
Yeah, and based on Dabo's performance at the weekend, I can't see him dropping him. So he kind of has to then keep that same shape, yeah. And it was good to see Kane as well. I thought he had a half decent game when he came on, and it's good just to have those options maybe that's why Dabo's picked up his game. You know, he was sort of first on the team sheet by default, because we didn't have any options there at right back. So a bit
like
of competition.
Jake Bidwell at left back.
Yeah, a bit of competition for everyone's good, but a bit of competition for Dabo, I think, will go a bit a long way as well.
All right, let's get some predictions in. Ross, let's start with you, mate.
Let's go for a 2-1 away win.
Love that from you. Yeah. Dave?
I think a point would be a great result.
Yeah.
1-1, I think, for me.
Lovely. That's a nice way to end this week with some positivity from the predictions this time around. Lovely to have you along with me this week's chaps. A big thank you to our sponsors, of course, at the Skyview Tavern for their support. And if you can get along on Tuesday for the Q&A, then you will be in for a great night. A big thanks for listening. And if you have any topics you want us to discuss, please get in contact via the usuals. And we will see you back here next week after our trip to Cardiff.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.